Hello.
Hey, Mixie, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How is my audio?
It's great. Sounds
No.
fantastic.
Okay, cool. I got some back yesterday that were like from the computer, and I was like, that's not gonna cut it.
That like a gaming headset, or what is that?
Yeah, this is for my PlayStation.
Very nice. You got that PS5 all hooked up and everything? That's so cool.
Yeah, and then I got this thing, but I felt like the headphones work a little better because then you don't get the delay.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. How's everything going for you?
I'm just doing fantastic. How are you?
Doing great. Victor was supposed to be the one interviewing you today, and then he's like, "I'm so full of crazy tasks, Peaches, you do it." And I was just like, "I gotta run to
You're
the
gonna have to give him a little slappy slappy for me.
studio." Right? Yeah. No, he's my boss. Can't do that. Otherwise, I'll be gone tomorrow.
Tell him Mixie says that she needs to give you a little slappy slappy for not hanging out with her today.
Exactly. You know, he's a music director, so he has to do everything. But he did tell me a cool story that, years back, K Bear was Idaho's only real rock station, and I think he sent you the title or something. And then you sent in voice work to say the slogan, and you said Idaho's only rock station, and he loved it so much. We have now changed that completely ever since then. So that's our K Bear is Idaho's only rock station.
The
It's
only I don't know any others.
always funny when people get mad about that too, because I've seen people message our Facebook before saying like, there's a station in Twin Falls. They're a rock station. You're not Idaho's only rock station. There's one in Boise too. I'm like, nah, we don't acknowledge those because, you know.
We're the only ones. I mean, I love them all, to be
Yeah,
fair.
yeah.
Like, I feel like Idaho just has so many cool people. I don't know what it is about that area, but it's always like everybody I meet there is so cool.
Yeah, I mean on Facebook they're kind of mean because I'm from California as well, and a lot of us decided to move here, and people on Facebook like to say a whole bunch of stuff. But when you meet Idahoans in real life, they're like willing to help you out in any way possible. They're always super friendly, and it's a
Well,
great
it's
place to
just
live.
crazy. Yes, it's crazy in California, but yeah, Dave Buckner, he's just moved out there. We were just at his house. He's got a massive house for the cost that you would be paying in California prices. It's definitely a nice. It's huge.
Yeah, no, my parents are still back in California. I've been wanting them to come out and visit and see the place and all that, but the winter kind of drives them away when it's only nice for 3 months out of the year and then you get snow.
I don't know. Every time I've gone, it's so beautiful and I just absolutely love it. The rock scene there is so good. It's like, I don't know what it is, but the only rock station, it must be you guys like pushing the music. I don't know what it is, but everybody is super engaged anytime we've ever played there. So,
Yeah, totally. No, I have never met a more connected audience to any radio station than the K-Bear listeners, even when it comes to just rock and metal, like you said, in general here, that people go nuts for shows that are even coming remotely close. We just had Falling in Reverse and Ice Nine Kills and the rest of the popular Monstour come to the area, and Ronnie was completely shocked, even not just by East Idaho, but by Boise as well, by the engagement of the audience. And Volbeat and Hailstorm are here as well. They had an awesome time, and I know you guys are coming to Salt Lake City August 31st, the Escape the Fate tour with Point North and Drugs and Garzy as well.
Yes, yeah. I wish we were coming to Idaho, man. I feel like it's been a well, we just played Twin like the festival there, but as far as yeah, it's gonna yeah, it had been a long time since we actually played Idaho, but that's gonna be an exciting tour for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I was wanting to go to that show because you can see behind me the Point North flag. They actually came to our studio. They were going from Spokane to Salt Lake, and somehow, some way, they were like, "Hey, let's go visit this station in Idaho Falls." And Point North was right here, and they were just super cool dudes. And they were absolutely shocked we played their song "Safe and Sound" with the Ghost Inside version because it's, you know, heavy, and rock radio won't play something that has screaming in it most of the time. It makes me laugh.
Yeah, it's so weird. I'm learning a lot about like rock and metal radio and all of that and the difference. And I'm really excited about Point North and Drugs and Garzy. I've heard nothing but good things about all those bands, so it's definitely going to be a very stacked lineup for that tour.
And not only that, but you guys also have a new album, September 1st, To the Wolves. We've been playing Possess Me. I know there's two other singles I'm going to play during this hour here. Are you ever nervous about public feedback when it comes to releasing new music?
Well, thank you for spinning it first off.
Absolutely.
But, that's really cool. And there's some screamy screamies in there for everybody on that. I'm always a little nervous. You know, it's like you never know what people, it's like you're showing your vulnerable side to everybody. And we've had these songs completed and turned in since last Halloween. So it's been almost a year. For us, it's weird. We've just gotten so used to the songs, but to know that they're all just like for other people, they don't even exist yet. So that's just kind of interesting to think about. But yeah, there's every emotion that you can think of that goes into releasing the record.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird how some artists now are like there's a Kim Dracula put out the weirdest debut album I've ever heard. It's like genreless, and like even Sleep Token, it's kind of like you get a mixture of pop and rock. I mean, it's pretty weird how rock and metal has gained so much in popularity, and then you see these pop stars also getting in on the action too. Like they've been enjoying it this entire time. I mean, you get Hardy doing rock songs, and he's a country guy, but he's wearing a Born of Osiris shirt. Is there any plan for like Stitch Up Heart to collaborate with a pop star or two here and there in the future?
Dude, I'm down for collaborations in general, but yeah, I'm hoping, you know how metal has been through its times. It had like the 80s hair metal, and then you've got like grunge killed metal, and then you've got like new metal, and then there's like this, like, I feel like we're in almost a post-genre kind of thing where you can kind of mix and match all of the music together and still stay in your genre. I don't know if that's from doing everything in the box and on computers, but yeah, as far as doing a collaboration, I have a very eclectic taste in music as well. So I just, at anything really, I'm totally down to do some Bad Omens or Sleep Token collaborations. Anything with women in it, obviously I'm a fan. So
yeah, I mean, Heidi from Butcher Babies, I had her on the show and she was so, so nice and friendly. And it was a great talk as well. And I think did you post something on Facebook that I saw recently? You said tonight there's the Butcher Babies non-point or Mudvayne. There's so many shows. It's hard to keep track.
Yes, the psychotherapy sessions tour with Mudvayne, Cold Chamber, Nonpoint, Gwar, Butcher. Butcher Babies, just our history. I was at their very first show. So I've been friends with those guys and girls for a very long time. And I think at some point I even asked if they needed a keyboard player. I was like, I love your band. Let me just be in it.
Right.
So, you know, we've all watched each other grow and cheering each other on from the sidelines. And, you know, we did a tour with them not too long ago. And I love the Nonpoint camp. They're always so freaking cool. I'm really excited about the show tonight. Yeah, we're going to head out there and a little bit later today.
And that's in Irvine, right?
Yeah, we were just actually at the Five Points Amphitheater. We went and saw Danny Elfman perform live, which was mind-blowing.
Right.
And got to meet him, which was even crazier. Our guitar player is, he's very much into the scoring, the film scoring composition kind of world. And so meeting Danny Elfman was not something we expected to do that day. But I remember saying like, hey, and this is only a few weeks ago, I was like, what if we meet him? Like, what if we randomly, it's 8,000 people, I think the place seats, what if we just randomly get to meet him? Like, and then we did.
Wow.
What would you say to him? You know? We still really didn't know what to say.
Yeah, I saw a clip of Pete Wentz of Fall Out Boy talking about that same situation where he ran into Paul McCartney somewhere and he was like, what do I even say that he hasn't already heard? You know, it's like, is it better to be silent in that situation and just be like, that's a legendary person right there? Or do you say, hey, I'm a big fan, do the stereotypical thing?
I don't know. For me, it was a little easier because Merritt was more nervous than anything. And I kind of just like babied him, like, we can do this. Come on, let's get in line and talk to him. And then for me, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not intimidated at all. Like, I got this, you know?
Right.
But I don't know if you've seen Danny Elfman. He's all ripped now. He just turned 70. He's like swole, like muscles. And I'm like, holy crap. And he got all these like tattoos and grew his hair out over the pandemic. So he was really going for rock star status that night. So we just talked about tattoos. Clearly we
Yeah.
have that in common.
What was
So.
what how was like how old were you when you got your first tattoo? That's another question I was always because I saw the tattoos, I was like, whoa, there has to be something that started the whole masterpiece that is now.
It's more just a masterpiece of just a blob of combined effort. So my first tattoo was the infamous tramp stamp on the lower back. And I wasn't actually old enough to get the tattoo. I went to a tattoo party and kind of started it there, and I couldn't finish it. Excuse me. But yeah, I was probably 16.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I know Victor always tries to pressure me into getting one, and I'm just like, hey, my mom would kill me. I don't want to like get her upset with me at some point, you know?
Now, like your mom would still kill you, and first off, that's 25 to life, so I don't know if she knows
No, she's I always, you know, she's if you ever get one, I'll get mad. My grandpa had one. He had that stereotypical mom heart one on his forearm, and
that.
he was all like, I hate this thing, 'cause he got older and it just started like getting all faded and stuff, and yeah, he was funny with it. No, yeah, that was it's great to actually see all the shows that are now coming to the area. I mean, Salt Lake City, Boise, people around here are used to driving 3 hours, 4 hours to go to a show and like in Salt Lake, and it's absolutely mind-boggling to think that, you know, 3 years ago there was no shows. Now all of a sudden I'm updating our concert calendar on our website. There's 114 on there of bands that, of course, you guys are on there, and you know, you got Godsmack on there, you got Bad Omens, Avenged Sevenfold. I think Bad Omens, Avenged Sevenfold, and there's a Senses Fail. There's another band all in Salt Lake City. Oh, Queens of the Stone Age, all in Salt Lake City in one day. And it's just, I was going to ask you about that because I'm sure with all these other tours going on, do you ever just see who is in the same city as you and just be like, hey, let's go hang out after the show or before the show or the day after?
Totally, totally never do that. But Motionless in White is playing Seattle and Vegas the same night. Never ever do that though. But it's a 10-minute walk anyway.
Because Chris is like the nicest dude ever. Like I was telling him about the oh, what was it? It was before, oh no, it was right after Scorn the End of the World came out, and I was telling him that in high school there was a place called Emo Hill. It's where all the kids with like the metal shirts would hang out, and he was like, dude, I gotta name the next Motionless in White record Emo Hill. So I'm hoping that becomes true.
Who knows? Yeah, he's so humble and chill and down to earth and stuff. He was actually probably one of the first people to listen to our record all the way through. Because yeah, I just gave it to him because I was like, what do you think? Like, give me your pointers. What do you think about this? So I gave it to him like over a year ago, to let me know what he thought about it. And I saw him on Shiprocked, and he said some really nice stuff about my performance. And then he just ghosted my butt for like he says he's so nice and so sweet, and then I never talked to him for months, and then all of a sudden he appears out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But very, very cool dude.
If there was ever a genie in a bottle, I think Chris Motionless would come out for sure. Like he would be like that dude, like I can grant you three wishes and somehow they become true.
Yeah, him and Maria Brink, she was the same when it was and they're doing a tour, which is freaking the coolest lineup ever. But so Maria, when we did that tour with Hailstorm in This Moment in New Year's Day, was like a celestial being that just floated in sometimes and appeared. And like, I remember somebody's like, Maria's watching a side stage. I'm like, don't mess up, don't mess up.
And we've been playing the new song The Purge, and I had it stuck in my head for like a day or two, like the whole like push it like butters line. I kept hearing that on repeat in my head. I'm like, get this out of here, even though it's so good.
Oh, that scream at the top is just powerful. She is seriously like just constantly pushing the boundaries for female and heavy music. I love it.
Yeah, it's really amazing to see how many female-led bands are out there now, especially with Spirit Box, you know, Hailstorm, Butcher Babies, you guys, of course. It's great to see even Arch Enemy too, who we also play on the air. Like one time, I don't know if you saw Victor out of nowhere was told by a rock radio programmer how like people tune out if there's female-led songs on the air, or whatever. And he just did the whole show of like Stitched Apart, Butcher Babies, Spirit Box, and went down the line, and we got so obscure with it. I think there was a band called Abnormality, and that's another female-led band, and you hear her and you're like, whoa, what is going on? because it's so extremely heavy.
So what was the response? Did you get like people listening more, listening less, just about the same?
Oh, way more. Victor posted the
There you
whole
go.
complete list, and everybody was like, that was the coolest thing Kaber's done in a long time. So.
Ah, I love that so much because you don't know how many times I've heard like women will never be as big as Five Finger Death Punch in the industry. Like there's no such thing as a female fronted band being as big as like, being able to sell out arenas or like, headline arenas. And it's like, I don't believe that's true. And
Right.
maybe I'm biased, but I think we can do it if
Oh,
we just
totally.
stick together.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
We
No.
just got to keep fighting the good fight.
I think Avenged Sevenfold match M Shadows was all like Spirit Box is going to fill up stadiums in like the next few years, and it's 100% true. You'll Butcher Babies, you if anybody really can do it. It's especially like around here too with the amount of support that East Idaho gives to like every rock or metal artist that comes through. I can totally see, all that stuff happening.
I really hope so. I feel like Spirit Box is definitely an anomaly when it comes to that. They just kind of broke into the scene and just destroyed everyone. Like I it's inspiring to watch a band just come out like that and just come out swinging and go viral like a few multiple times into the point where it just kind of gives me hope that like that there's still room to grow and it's not a dead scene and there's like, hope for the women in the industry for sure.
Yeah, and I get told every day about new bands, especially like from listeners that are so involved with us. They're like, "Hey, check out this band." And usually, most of the time, we just put it on the air because we liked it so much. I mean, like, of course, my last name's Peach. That's why I go by Peaches. And then I heard that Buried Alive song, Master Peach, that came out. And that's like my new favorite song, of course, just because it's, no bias here, but,
It's adorable.
Yeah. No, I think you sent in a recording of like, "Hey, it's Mixie. You're listening to Peach's Pit Party." And I thought I heard like a chuckle because you saw the name of the show and you're like, "This is silly. Peach's Pit Party."
Keep the laugh in there.
Yeah, exactly. What happened recently with Ice Nine Kills is that Patrick, their drummer, he was told Peaches was coming to pick him up from the venue, and I'm sure he was expecting like some like lady to come and be like, "Hi, Patrick," but it's a 6'9" dude like, "Hi, Patrick, I'm here to get in the car."
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? I had a little orange tabby named Peaches when I was a kid, and it was like my first pet love. So I just you're my cat back in the day,
Oh, there we
reincarnated.
go. Yeah, absolutely. Doing radio in East Idaho now, being successful with it.
Yeah.
Well, I do thank you for joining the show today. I do appreciate you, spending time here. I did see one last question because I saw the kitten video on your Instagram about taking the kitten to was the bass player's birthday party or what was that? And do you what where do the pets go or where does the kitten go when you're going on tour and you're going on the road?
They go back to the rescue. The kittens that I have right now, I try to time it out perfectly in between tours. So I have about 2, 3 months to at least grow them from not being able to eat on their own to strong, get their shots and get them spayed and neutered. So I will be, the kittens I have now are about 5 weeks old. And so they have a few more weeks until they're ready to be adopted, but I'll have to give them back to the rescue before I go. I can't
Right.
bring them, but so they'll be ready. They're just now eating regular food. So they'll at least be able to fend for themselves at the rescue. I think I'm on number 97 now,
Wow, that's so cool.
fostering these kittens. I kind of fell in love with it. I found out more information about these, like when people find a litter of kittens out in the park or wherever, they think they're helping by picking them up and bringing them to the animal shelter or the humane society. But what they don't know is mom's probably out getting food or something. She'll be back later. Think of them as like raccoons, like feral community cats. But when they bring them to the animal shelter or the humane society, they know that they only have like to the end of the day to really find another a rescue or somebody to take these kittens because they have to eat every 2 to 3 hours. And they don't have the resources with all the litters that come in, especially in California during the summer, to be able to feed them all. So they euthanize them like that day if they don't find a place for them. So I'm very passionate. They euthanize them more than pit bulls. And when I found that out, I just try to help as many as possible. I know I can't do all of them, but if I can get them big and strong, then they can, fend for themselves a little more when they're able to eat on their own.
Yeah, it's incredible work. That's really cool. I didn't realize there was that many kittens. 97. That is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, the lady I talked to the other day had 200 she was at. She, like, keep a track record of all of the fosters over the past almost 9 years. And yeah, I have 95, 6, and 7 in the bathroom downstairs right now.
It's almost like a leaderboard. There's like the 200, 95, all the rest of the high scores.
It's crazy because some of the kittens, like, I remember being so passionate and into them when I was with them because you get to know them really well and having a really hard time, like, sending them to adoption land. And now I've taken pictures and made little collages, but some of them, I don't even remember them. There's so many of them. I'm like, I think I almost kept that one, but I'm glad I didn't because 97 kittens is a lot for one house.
Definitely, definitely. And well, yeah, thank you for joining the show today. I know we're running out of time here. Just gotta, I'll slap Victor, of course.
Oh my God. I don't really mean it though. I do
No,
love him.
yeah.
He was one of the first people to reach out about the songs, and that really meant a lot to me. It actually, he was one of the people that kind of lit a fire under our butt to push radio a little harder. Because I don't think that even the label thought that people were going to, like you said, screaming and all that stuff, were going to gravitate to these songs as much. And once they started to, then we were like, hey, can we get some radio in here?
Yeah, it's quite shocking to me to see the other radio stations do that sort of thing. And then I come here and their Lorna Shore's album came out. We played it start to finish on the air during our metal show, and we did the same thing for Motionless and Wyatt when Scorn the End of the World came out. I played the whole thing and he was shocked. Even when Patrick was in here and I started off the hour with Take Your Pick with Corpse Grinder on it, and no other radio station I know out there is playing anything re remotely heavy, especially with Corpse Grinder of Cannibal Corpse on a track. And he just comes in and goes, is this on the air right now? I'm like, yeah, this, I'm not just playing this. This is going to the audience. And then he was flabbergasted.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Literally, you were one of the first, you and JJO. And our first song had a lot of F words in it.
I do love the radio edits sometimes. I did tell Heidi from Butcher Babies that there was a song that was supposedly a radio edit, and halfway through the edit stopped. And then I think some radio stations played it without even realizing that, and it made me laugh because I listened to every single track start to finish. And that one just made me laugh because I was like, there has to be somebody out there that's playing this and not realizing it at 2 in the morning. There's a giant few F-bombs in there.
Was that ours?
No, it was Butcher Babies. That,
Okay.
yeah, yeah, no, no,
Oh.
yeah, no. Yours is just fine. We've been playing "Possess Me" and all that. It's good.
Yeah, no, the first song that we had released had so many F words that we really didn't think any radio stations would want to pick it up. And that's why I was really surprised with Victor and Brock over at the Not Other Idaho station.
Right. No, those guys over there too are very, very cool. That's always,
Yeah.
and there's no really like competitiveness here unless we're just like, we'll tease about other personalities, but in real life, everybody's super nice to each other, and it's fun.
I know you've got Big J and them over there that are not another radio station in Idaho.
Yeah, totally.
No,
Totally. Well,
that's why the scene is so good out there, 'cause you guys all like cultivated this, you know?
No, it was great to actually get hired here and do this with a genre that I love so much, and the freedom to just be like, hey, can we play this 11-minute long Typo Negative song in the air right now? Sure, go for it. And then just do it. And it's
That's
all,
rare. It
yeah.
is very rare. And so you are very lucky to be able to kind of be free with that and not have to only play this song over and over again because,
Right, exactly, exactly. Well, thank you, Mixie. I'm running out of time here, unfortunately. I do appreciate you joining the show, and really thank you for just spending time. And hopefully, I can try to catch you guys August 31st in Salt Lake City, because I've been wanting to go to that show for ever since it was announced.
Oh, well, thank you. And just let me know, and I'll make sure that you're taken care of and that you guys have the star VIP treatment to
That
our second band on the bill status.
sounds great. Yeah, no, because I do have a signed axe from Ice Nine Kills, and I was like, is this bad to bring to another band and be like, hey, can you guys sign this too? Like, it's just a signed axe.
I would be honored to
Yes.
sign something that Ice Nine signed.
Perfect. Yeah, I just wanted to have another awesome band, of course, on there as well, you know, because there's so much other room that I'm like, I need to get more and more, of course, but.
Yeah, then there's definitely more bands on the bill that are way awesomer than us.
No,
So
Stitch the Party is great. You
I'll
guys
see
are
when you get
awesome.
them on it.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I like self-deprecate all the time,
Oh, me
but
too.
thank you.
Yeah, I do. I'm the worst because I always say I'm Pat Smear and Victor's Dave Grohl. Like I'm just it's like I'm Kyle and he's Jack Black. It's just always the backup dude.
I feel that 100%. That's like my band and me. I'm the Jack Black in the band.
Well, there we go. There we go. But well, thank you once more, and I do appreciate you. Like I said, joining Peach's Pit Party.
Thank you so much, Peaches. And I had an awesome time talking to you. And I can't wait to see you in Salt Lake.
Yeah, and I can't wait to hear this album too. I'm excited to listen to it.
It's
I'm ready.
a doozy.
All righty. Well, you take care.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Recordings.